Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, today we are celebrating the Epiphany, the day on which, according to church tradition, the Magi who had traveled from distant lands led only by a star finally arrive in Bethlehem, found the baby Jesus with his parents, presented him with gifts, and worshiped him. Now, while we're accustomed to talking about three kings or three wise men, and even though the church tradition has actually given them names, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, in case you've forgotten, we actually know very little about them. St. Matthew, who wrote the story we heard a couple minutes ago, just doesn't tell us all that much about them, which might be why these characters have been the source of so much creative speculation over the centuries. Much of that has been carried out through art, music, literature, and song. We sang for a moment ago, for instance, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Or think of the musical drama Amal in The Night Visitors, or T.S. Eliot's epic poem The Journey of the Magi. But this story has also spawned a fair number of jokes, and truth be told, most of them are pretty bad. For instance, did you know that some people think that the three magi were actually firemen rather than kings? Because, you know, they came from afar. But, Or have you heard the one about the Irish woman confessing to her priest that she had a hard time taking the Bible seriously precisely because of this story? Come on, Father, she explained. I mean, one wise man, maybe, but three. Or did you know that after the first king presented gold and the second presented frankincense, Joseph, thinking that they were done, thanked them and began to show them to the door until the third king burst up, but wait, there's still myrrh. Oh, all right, I warned you. These are not highbrow jokes. But as bad as much of this magi-inspired humor is, I kind of think St. Matthew, the writer of this story, would approve. In fact, sometimes I think this whole story of the arrival and adoration of the magi is Matthew's own private little joke. Because this story and its main characters just do not belong anywhere in this gospel. Matthew's story about Jesus is, you see, so incredibly, well, Jewish, stressing Jesus' Jewish heritage, pointing out all the ways in which Jesus fulfills the Jewish law as attested to by the Jewish prophets. Along these lines, Matthew's gospel doesn't start with the story of Jesus' birth, but instead gives a genealogy, tracing Jesus' lineage from Abraham, father of the Israelites, and through David, Israel's greatest king. Again and again, Matthew is at pains to make the point that Jesus is the Jewish descendant of Jewish kings and patriarchs, and so is the Jewish Messiah sent to save the Jewish people. Which is why this story seems not just humorous, but downright odd and kind of out of place. There are no shepherds in Matthew's story that come to the manger to offer their praise, no angels heralding Jesus' birth. The only people who show up in Bethlehem in Matthew's gospel are these three very not Jewish wanderers. Moreover, they're not priests or students of Scripture, but they're astrologers. Students of the stars, and astrology was a practice regularly looked down on in the Jewish scriptures. By any stretch of the imagination, these three guys should not be in the story, at least not being portrayed in a favorable light. Yet, nevertheless, as Matthew tells it, it is these three foreigners, worshippers of another god and followers of a star, who come bearing gifts and offering their worship to the newborn king. Moreover, the ones who should know about Jesus, the ones who should want to worship him, the current Jewish king and his court of priests, scholars, and counselors, they are terrified when the Magi come to Jerusalem and ask where Jesus, King of the Jews, is to be born. And this is where Matthew's humor turns darker, because the good news of God's redemption doesn't sound like good news if you don't think you need redeeming. And the arrival of God's king can only unsettle the hearts of those who want themselves to hold on to power. Herod ends up acting far more like the Pharaoh of Egypt than the shepherd king of Israel, and the irony of that would not have been lost on Matthew's original audience. Matthew's gospel is by far the longest of the four. He had a lot to say about Jesus, and many scholars think that he wrote so much because he was engaged in an extended argument with some of the rabbis and other first century Jewish leaders about whether Jesus was really the Messiah. But before Matthew gets down to the business of telling a story that would convince folks, he hoped, once and for all, that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, descended from Jewish patriarchs and promised by Jewish prophets, Matthew tells this story first, a story of out-of-place pagan wanderers and astrologers who recognize that in Jesus, God is out to save the whole world, Israel for sure, but also everyone else. There is a place, Matthew wants to say, through this darkly funny scene, there is a place in this story for everyone. In my first year as a parish pastor, and after preaching a sermon that was all about God's grace and mercy, a young woman I had not seen in church before stopped to thank me for the sermon. "Those were beautiful words, Pastor, really beautiful," she said, but then went on, "but I think that if you really knew me, you wouldn't say them to me." And then she slipped away, and I never saw her again. Now, I have no idea what had been said to her or done to her to make her think she didn't deserve the grace we were talking about. I have no idea what part of her past or present life made it difficult for her to believe that she deserved to be loved. But I will never forget the ache I heard in her voice. It was the ache of not belonging, of believing that you don't have a place or even deserve a place with the rest of the family. And here's the thing, I recognize that ache because I've felt it too. Not that often. I was fortunate to grow up in a home where our parents' love and acceptance was as unconditional as it was unquestioned. But I still know that feeling, and I bet that you do too. Every one of us, in fact, at one time or another, has felt like we don't belong, like we're not acceptable, that there's something about us that's just not right, or that we've done something or said something that somehow disqualifies us from the acceptance and love and dignity that of course we believe everyone else deserves, and yet from time to time have a hard time imagining is ours. Which is why I think Matthew tells this story, begins his gospel with a scene about outsiders, about those who do not seem to belong, about those who are different, don't fit in, who are judged as unworthy, and through the century have been the butt of more than a few jokes. Herod and his henchmen for sure think these guys are laughable, and so can only imagine using them to find out where this baby is and then discarding them. No one could imagine that these three, kings or wise men or magi, or to Herod and his crew, stooges, no one could imagine that these three would be the first to whom God would reveal God's glory. The glory of Jesus, the light of the world, the one that came to enlighten and enliven everyone. But that, I think, is Matthew's point. That ultimately, God's greatest joke is that the Lord God Almighty, who created and still sustains the vast cosmos, this God seeks out the lost, loves the unlovable, redeems sinners, and honors those that the world calls dishonorable. It's a joke that can be unsettling, especially to those who think they always know the score, those who pride themselves on knowing, or even more, judging who's in and who's out. but to the rest of us. When we have those moments of feeling like we just don't belong, the story is so funny and odd and quirky and unexpected and ultimately joyful that it makes you laugh so hard that you end up crying, and you're not sure when the laughter turned to tears or even why you're crying. It's just that it feels so good to know that God is on your side and that God loves you and accepts you just as you are. That's why Matthew tells this odd, funny, weirdly out of place story, so that we all will know and believe and trust that in this story there is a place for everyone. And if at times that still seems hard to believe, come back here. Because we love this story so much, we tell it week in and week out, so that you know God's story, God's love, is for everyone, including you. Thanks be to God. Amen.